I spoke about when our expectations doesn't meet our experiences in life, specifically relating to others in other relationships. This morning I want to continue on that, but I want to take it to the level where our expectations from God doesn't meet our experiences in life. So, and I know we all sometime can identify with that as I'm sitting or standing here this morning, and many of you here, that some or another time, somebody once said, we get those things that we do not understand why it happened like it happened. The person said, you know, if you, in your walk with Christianity, you'll have a lot of them. That file 13 where you file them that you don't get the answers and you trust that God is in control still. I want to talk about that a little bit. I haven't got all the answers necessarily, but I trust that the Lord will meet us here this morning. Yesterday I had such an experience as well, and it reminded me of mine, which I had several years ago as well, where, you know, I was just within the time span of 3 weeks, we had a wedding, and then 3 weeks later we do a funeral of the same family, a mother of 52 years old, and you have an expectation that God can come in and heal. She died of cancer. We know them well. It's Peter Allen's mom. And things like that is sometimes so hard to understand. Say, Lord, why? Why did this all happen? You know, we said it last week as well, you know, that frustration is born when our expectation doesn't meet our experiences in life, you know. And what happens when God is at the center of that expectation? What do we do with that feeling? What do we do with what we're experiencing? Because God doesn't always share our perspective. So if you want to, you can turn with me to John 11 this morning. I'm going to continue on the two sisters and the brother. Last week we spoke about Mary and Martha. This week we're adding Lazarus to the mix. And we bake the cake and see where we're going. So I trust that God will meet us here. John 11. And we'll read about the death of Lazarus. We'll read quite a lot of verses this morning. Bear with me if you know the story. That's the privilege that we have this morning of knowing the story. But I want you to take you back into time. Because put yourself in their shoes this morning that they didn't know the outcome of the situation. We know what happens at the end. Mary and Martha didn't know. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany. There's no need Bethany, the honor and he said any. But that's the town of Mary and her sister. If you thought they come from there, I know there's some people maybe. No, there's nobody from Bethany this morning. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. We saw that last week. Therefore the sister sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and his sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after this he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you and you are going there again. And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. These things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. And then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of the death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Then Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we might die with him. I love these disciples. They say sometimes, let also go and we die with him. Right? I don't know if I'll say or be so brave sometimes just to utter these things, you know. Anyway, so when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. Jesus smelled him already when he was coming, eh? That's what the Bible says. Anyway, And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe in this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." We have such experiences in life where our expectation doesn't meet. I shared the story, and for those of you who haven't heard it, I'll just condense that very quickly. I had such an, I think this is one of the most closest times I came to such an experience is when a close friend of mine died of cancer. A few years ago, 28 years old, we at the same stage in our life, running almost, I want to say, the same race, heading full-time ministry, being called. Yeah, only difference was he had a little girl of 3 years, 4 years old at that stage that made it a bit more complicated, I would say. You know, served the Lord much longer than me, been an inspiration to me. Then he fell sick, got cancer, started trusting the Lord to heal him, did all the right things. According to our books, we stood in faith, we declared the word of God, we did all the right things, and then that story didn't have a happy ending according to us, our view. He died. And then suddenly you're stuck there. Now you had your hope, and something happens here, and God, I don't know. I just don't understand this. I know you're sitting here this morning with similar expectations or similar experiences this morning. And we read this story about John. Let's look at it from a literary point of view this morning. That John lets us know that Lazarus is connected to, he's the one that Jesus loved. The one the Lord loves. He's setting in expectation here, trying to tell us that Lazarus was connected to someone. There's an expectation. He's building something here. Who are the people you expect the most of in life? It's the people you've done the most for and the people that's done the most for us. Those are the people we expect the most of in life. Wouldn't we agree on that? Our children, they just make these noises when they're hungry and then expect to be filled. I'm hungry. They just have this expectation, and they know it needs to be full. All of us, we have people in our lives, and I can agree, I can see in this whole story, you know, that Jesus would fit this category for all three of them. The people that you've done the most for in life, or that's done the most for you, you would expect the most of them, at least. So we read in the scripture that Lazarus fell sick. Jesus heard about it. He went to Lazarus. He laid his hands on him, and he got healed. No, I just made it up. At least John is just setting, that's our expectation, at least. Wouldn't you agree that when Jesus hears about Lazarus' sickness, the obvious thing to do would be to go and heal him? This is what John tries to do. So let's look at the formula. Jesus loves Lazarus. Lazarus fell sick. And Jesus heals Lazarus. Or that's the expectation, Jesus to heal Lazarus. But it didn't work out like that. Let's go to verse 6 again, and then we see what's happening there. He says, "So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was." Listen to that. So when he heard, not but when he heard. So signifies causation this morning. If we go back to verse 5, we see, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. You would expect, because Jesus loves Martha and her sister and Lazarus, that the obvious thing to do is to go when he hears the news and heal. I mean, of course, Jesus could do anything. Jesus, they've seen Jesus healed so many times that the obvious thing for Jesus is just to come, speak a word, or even just send a word, like he's done before, with the daughter of Jairus. We know all that. When they got there, she was already healed. What do you do when God, who speaks the last word, doesn't speak the word you would like to hear? What do you do with that? Because we can agree this morning that He speaks the last word. But it's not always the word we'd like to hear. Verse 12. Go back to Scripture then and we see. Then His disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well." However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. Can't you get it?" Hey, I love these. Oh, these disciples. "And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." Why did Jesus wait 4 days? The Bible said he was dead already for 4 days. Why did he wait 4 days before he continued? They say this is an old Jewish custom where they believe that when a man died on the third day, that's the custom. I'm not saying it happens like that, okay? They believe that his spirit will depart on the third day. He's dead, 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 dead now. Jesus waited till he's dead, 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 dead. Because in the Old Testament, we saw many times when people were, shall I say, resurrected. But I want to use another word this morning just for the sake of the sermon, resuscitated. Jesus wanted to do something new here. We saw that happening, but there was something new that Jesus had to reveal here to them. So Jesus had to wait till everything is gone, that everybody on the fourth day when they believe and they see, there's nothing that we can do about this anymore. He's dead, 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 dead. Now we're stuck here. And what bugs me this morning is when Jesus hears this news, verse 4, he says, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." What bugs me this morning is when Jesus says that, what happens after that is just the opposite. Then he dies. Think for a moment that you in their shoes. Put yourself in their shoes. We know the outcome. It's so easy to skip and run to the front because it's easy to know the truth. But for them, Jesus says to them, "Listen, you'll not die. You'll be healed." We get those words. You pray, you'll be healed. And then the opposite happens. And then we do not know what to do with that. But the opposite happens. And I want to make a strong statement this morning. Following Jesus can sometimes be a disappointing experience. Now you're waiting for the catch here. There's no catch in this. There's no catch. That's just it. Following Jesus can be a very disappointing experience sometimes in life. That's not what the prosperity teachers tell us, right? Now you come to Jesus, I'll give you this and get you this and get that and that and this and that. And praise God for all the blessings. But I always say that Jesus never enticed sinners with his blessings. Come to me, take up your cross. The other day I heard somebody saying, we were in Stellenbosch in the conference. The one guy said he got saved and then anyway he started his relationship with the Lord. And now many years later, almost 20 years later, he wants to do one thing. He wants to go back to that pastor, to that dummy, and tell him, "You lied to me. You told me my life will be like this and this and this and this. And it's going to be great. And yes, it's great. And I'm not trying to make you negative about the year. I'm trying to help us here. Sometimes we've got expectations and we do not know how to deal with that when life hits us." And the guy says, "I want to go back to that guy and tell him you lied. That's not the reality. This doesn't work like that." But thank God he's still there with us to help us to manage this and to work with this. Anyway. And we sing that song, "God is good all the time, not today. God is good all the time, God is good. No, not today." That's how I feel at least. I'm just being honest with you. The other day I was went to Due South. You know, we haven't got a lot of clothes stores here, so we've got a very limited range. Anyway, so I see this T-shirt. I try this T-shirt on. But the way it looks in the store there on the shelf or hanger, Enger, is that the Afrika, Enger, English word? So that's the fortune of, for, that's nice when you have Afrikaans people and we all understand one another. If we make the mistakes, you keep us on our toes, you know. So anyway, nevertheless, so I saw that. I tried it on. The moment you try it on, it doesn't look the same. And the ladies will identify with this, that sometimes the thing looks better in the store than on me. It emphasizes certain areas, but more. They will tell you, it's the lightning in the store that's designed like that. When you try it on there, it looks good. When you get home, it doesn't look as good anymore. But they tell you it's the lightning in the store that's designed in such a way to make you feel good. And it fits well and it looks good. When you get home, it doesn't look as good anymore. Esther, I know you've got those lights in your store as well, but it's good. That's good sales technique. Now, I thought about that, you know. I hope we don't do that as a church many times with people. When the lightning is right, we sing the right song. Oh, God, I praise you. But deep inside of myself, I'm crying. God, I'm so disappointed right now. And I cannot bring you my feelings because that's not the right thing to do. People expect me just to praise you. And thank God, I'm jumping up and down. I'm not saying that we shouldn't do like Paul did in the prison. I'm just saying sometimes we're not real. The light shines in a certain way. Oh, brother, how are you? Oh, praise God, I'm good. But deep inside of me, I've lost my job and everything at home is just a mess. But praise God, can't go better. Say hello, Afrikaans. Enig iets wat beter gaan, kan ek dit nie meer hou nie. And we're not honest with ourselves. I think God must be looking at us and saying, just be honest, just be real. I'm not saying being negative. I'm not saying being critical, complaining. I say, God, this is a mess. My life is a mess. I don't understand. I'm disappointed. God, why can I bring you this? My disappointment. And God, I expected this of you, but this didn't happen. And at least God can have a conversation with me. So, well, your expectation wasn't maybe realistic or what else. So we push that to the side and we expect or we want to do the thing that's the right thing to do. And we know the end of the story. Mary and Martha doesn't know. They disappointed. And God could have healed him. Why did he die? By the way, just so that you know, I haven't got the scriptures. Oh, I haven't got the slides up there. I'm just talking about 2 points this morning. You can write them down if you want. I'm talking about perspective and priority this morning. Perspective and priority. I'm just going to continue running through all of them. But Jesus could have sent some spit to you. We know once he spat on the ground. I don't know. I wasn't there. I can just imagine. Sometimes I wonder what it sounded like. And the Bible is so interesting. You can, when you have stories, you know, when you read that to your children, it can be so, you can color it in so much, you know. And the man was sick. And Jesus came and he, or when, I can't describe the other stories about Saul that went into the cave. We know, I know the other day a pastor told me that's one of his favorite stories the children would like to, hear, because he demonstrates them to them. Saul went into the cave and then he sat there. Now I won't tell you what the Bible says, that you can go and read that yourself. But they look at the expression on his face. He sat there. Anyway, let's not go there. These children, they love this. We gotta be a bit more descriptive. And, you know, tell children, so they love the Bible. Anyway, that's the reality. So where was I? I'm going sidetracked now. I'm all different. Jesus was a master at disappointing people or their expectation. Their expectations. They expected him to be born in a royal palace. Oh, crowded salt. That's a disappointing experience. They expected him to be born out of the natural union between a man and a woman. No. Holy Spirit. Teenage girl. Ooh, very disappointing. Once Jesus went to, and his parents went to town, and Jesus disappeared. They're looking for Jesus for 3 days. 3 days, I think the Bible says. They can't find him. Eventually they find him in the temple. Disappointing experience. How could you? How could you do that to us? Very disappointing experience. Once Jesus took the scroll of Isaiah, Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Oh, they didn't want to hear that. They didn't want to receive him as that man. Oh, you speak like a prophet. It's disappointing. Peter was disappointed in Jesus. Once his mother-in-law fell sick and Jesus healed her. And that went over you. That's why many scholars believe Peter denied him. Anyway, some of us not here with us. We'll have to take a break here. I'm just testing to see we're all here still. Peter was disappointed. No, there's no joke. This is serious. Peter was disappointed. He wanted to be a general in the army of the Lord. But the Lord said, he wanted you to make you a disciple. Not what you expect to be. And he can carry on and on. John 6, the other day we spoke about that. The people, Jesus feed the people. And then a couple of verses later, a day later, they had bread. Oh, Jesus served us. We want to serve him. This man, I like this man. Gave us food. So Jesus says to them, oh, so now you follow me because you had food yesterday. You see, they wanted him to be their Burger King. And Jesus says, no, 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 I'm not your Burger King. Disappointing experience. And some of that is more severe in life. I'm talking lightly now this morning. We all know that we have sometimes situations in life that they just break us. No answer. No man can, no pastor. And sometimes we don't even find a word in the Bible. We just don't, we're stuck in the middle of nowhere. But, and we go back to verse 4 this morning. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Sometimes in life, when somebody has a different plan than you, it means that they've got a different perspective than you. And just maybe, from God's point of view, he might have a different perspective on your life, on my life. Maybe from his point of view, from his perspective, we disappoint him much more than he disappoints us. Think about your life for one moment. Reflect on this past year. Maybe I disappointed him much more than he disappointed me. That one experience I had that stuck with me forever. And now I'm carrying this with me and I don't have the answers. But how many times during the year I just let him down? And the first thing to bring into our disappointments many times is to realize that we are saved by grace. That by grace this morning, I'm standing in a relationship with Christ. That's much greater than anything else. And if God would choose this morning to show me what I deserve, that would be much bigger than my disappointment. Because I can be honest with you this morning, I don't deserve what I receive from him. It's grace. I don't deserve, you and me, if God choose to show us what we actually deserve, it will change our perspective in life. And I think we'll be a bit more tolerant towards God. And say, God, I don't understand that. It doesn't make sense to me. They told me when I bring up my children, everything will be great. And a lot of us thought, you know, you'll play worship songs when your children start rebelling, all of that. That's Christianity. Oh, then that's not. Sometimes it's just the opposite. Life deals you a card and you don't know what to do with it. But it helps to get perspective. And say, God, give me perspective this morning of how you see what you do. Me and you this morning are here by grace and grace alone. And we don't deserve what we hear this morning. Verse 18 says, now Bethany was near Jerusalem about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha had said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Now let's just stop there for a moment. Martha went out to have a speech with Jesus. She met him at the gate. I can see Martha. You should have been here. Didn't you get the SMS? Sure you got the SMS last time when he invited you for dinner. Where have you been? We saw Martha was this kind of one. She was just honest with her. No, it didn't happen like that. It's just my how I picture it. Nevertheless, but Martha, and there's two continuums here this morning. She's caught between the two, and that's the thing that happens with us as well. Lord, if you'd been here. First one this morning, she's caught between the past. God, if you didn't let my father walk out of me, I would have been such a better man. God, if my parents didn't separate, if there wasn't a divorce, my marriage wouldn't look like this morning. God, you could have protected me while I was young. And what happened in that day? You were not there for me. And many of us, we stuck at the past. Because it's easy to escape there and put the blame on God and say, God, because we do not want to go to the now. Or listen to that, verse 24. Then she goes to the future. She said, Mary said to him, I know, Jesus said, your brother will rise again. And verse 24, he said, Mary said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She's postponing or she's putting her hope to the future. One day, Lord, I know you. She knew the scripture. She knew the story. One day we will all rise again, God. Isn't that true of us? Sometimes we hang between these two thieves, the past and the future. But somewhere in the middle, we have this gap here of now. God, I know. And now, Lord, you will do that. And you wipe away every tear one day. But right now, Lord, I'm stuck in the middle. What do I do right now? But Martha had the insight. Listen to that. In a grief that somehow, in the gap of expectation, to look God in the flesh, in the eyes. Say, God, I am disappointed in you. I am disappointed. This is what I expected. But God, somehow, I know that you are here now and you can still do something. Although she said one day in the future, you are here now. You know, a couple of years ago, I don't know if you watched the rugby between, sorry for using that example, but I got to make a point here this morning. When the Sharks and the Blue Bulls play the final, and the Sharks thought they've got the copy al da, they're already celebrating. In the last seconds, Brian Abana picks up the ball and he runs. Even I was already crying almost because my team lost, and then the miracle happened. He scored a try underneath the post. But if I would have walked out earlier, I would have missed the moment. I want to say to you this moment, sometimes we got to hang in there. Because if you walk out in life too early, you miss the miracle. Between the past and the future, I'm stuck. And Lord, if you. And God says this morning, the miracle doesn't start when you, or stop. Sorry, let me start again. The miracle starts when you stop looking for a way out of it, rather for a way through it. If we can get to that place where we realize, God, right now, this has been dealt. I am in this situation. There may be another way out. There's only a way through that. Will you walk through? Will you be with me in this time, Lord? And it's in times like yesterday when you see this family and the family is just in front of you, you know, nothing I can really say can change. We can give them a hug. We can say we think of you. We can pray. But guys, let's be honest. They got to carry that burden. They got to carry it. They got to go to bed tonight with an emptiness inside of them. I can walk away, deliver a sermon, and not get emotionally too close. Because, I mean, it's not my mother. What do you do with when it hits me? It's times like that when you go back home, when everybody leave the scene, and the 40 days after the... When the ark just drifts under water and it's just quiet after the storm, they say, when you're all on your own there, there's just one there waiting for you to invite him. Say, walk with me. I want to take you through this. I don't want to take you out of this. You see, Jesus says the sickness shall not lead to death. And then he dies.
And it depends this morning of your definition of end, of my definition of end. What does it mean when we say end? It's different for all of us. But when you look at somebody or look at Jesus, or shall I put it this way? My expectation is not built based upon something, but based upon someone. Because the something can change. What I expected to happen can change this morning, but he doesn't change. And if we shift our expectation to the someone rather than to the something, or what I expected it to be, we can face uncertainty in the face. Say, God, I can go there. Because you've been there. I don't know what 2014 might hold in for you. It can be a gamble. Anybody can predict or try and prophesy. End of the day, we do not know. But I know who's here. I know who's been before me. He's in my future. And I've got to make sure that I'm there, that place where I walk with him. You see, maybe, just maybe this morning, the scene of your greatest disappointment over this year can be the setting of your greatest miracle if you don't walk out on Jesus too early. Cry if you need to cry. Bring those feelings to Jesus if you need to bring that. Be honest, but don't leave too early. Meet him at the gate. Meet him at that place where you say, God, I was disappointed in you. I expected my mother to be healed. God, I walked out in faith. Thursday morning, Peter Allen says to me, I got to move out in faith. I got to go on my honeymoon. That wouldn't be wise of me to ask God to heal my mom and then I wait here waiting for her to die. Wouldn't that be the appropriate thing would be to accompany faith with that? And then the opposite happens. And I don't have an answer for that. But it depends on what your definition of end is. If we see that as the end of the story, God doesn't see it like that. For God is just, as I said yesterday, we're just walking through the door. We see life as this time here on earth, and when things stop here, then everything is over now. No, it's not over. We know it. On the other side of life, there's so much more. But for us, God help us this morning just to see that life is so much bigger than what we can perceive and experience here. Give us perspective this morning, Lord, to see. See verse 25 and 27. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe in this? She said to him, Lord, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. They didn't know. They had an expectation. They didn't know what Jesus would do. But Jesus says to them, I'm sorry, Martha. I'm sorry, Mary. I've got to disappoint you this time. But I've got to disappoint you so that I can exceed your expectation. Sometimes in life, when God always meets your expectation, my expectation, he cannot exceed that. And in order, and we know exceed always is something better. I must feel better. And last week we shared it about Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. We see that as, I'm going to feel greater and I'm going to have more and I'm going to be richer and I'm going to own more and all of that. But sometimes it means deeper. Deeper with him. Can I have some music here this morning? Every unmet opportunity this morning. Every unmet desire. Every unmet expectation is a chance to get an upgraded revelation of who God is. I'm saying that again. Every unmet opportunity, every unmet desire or expectation of you and me is sometimes a chance to get an upgraded revelation of God. Sometimes when our computer or your phone becomes slow, we know technology. It's time for an upgrade. Sometimes in life when it feels like everything is standing still, and I don't understand. Just maybe. I'm putting it out there. It's time for an upgraded revelation of who God is. And I want to close this morning. Paul was for me the one that I think described resurrection the best way. This is his words about it, you know. I want to say to you this morning, the resurrection doesn't always mean that the person comes back and apologizes. Or that the person gets healed. Paul says in Philippians 3 verse 10, I expect whatever happens that I may know him. Sometimes life is dealing us a card that we didn't expect to deal us. But maybe make that your prayer this morning. Say, God, whatever happens, whatever is coming to my side this morning, Lord, in this year, may I get to know you. And even take you to take me to a painful place, to a deeper place this morning. Let's pray. We don't often pray. We're afraid to pray that prayer. I'm afraid to pray that prayer. I'm standing before you. It's not always nice to go to that painful place. And I don't want everybody of us to pray that prayer and say, okay, now we're going to go to the painful place. God in his almighty wisdom know by grace when we are ready to get to that place where he wants to take us. And Jesus is saying this morning to some of you this year, this morning, that can I trust you? I want somebody that I can trust. That you know that I love you. That when I take you to that place, it's not that I've left you. It's just because I want to take you to a new place. And as with Mary and Martha, you knew you could trust them in their relationship, that you love them. Others of us would walk out in Jesus if that happens to us. And I thank God that he knows where we are, each one of us, when he takes us to those places, to give us grace to stick with him. He'll meet you at the gate. You bring him your experience. You bring whatever you have this morning. Let's close our eyes. Maybe your expectation is about something, or so I say, about someone. I don't know. But if your expectation is this morning about the something that needs to happen instead of the someone you're looking at, God wants to shift that this morning. Say, God, I look at you this morning. Maybe you're at that place as with Martha. She said, Lord, I'm disappointed. But God, I know you're right here, right now. And I don't know about the future. I don't know about the past. But I know you are here this morning, Lord. And right now, that's enough for me, Lord. Your presence is enough here this morning, Lord, to take me through this, not out of this, Lord. And somehow, God, somehow, I don't know. I don't have the answers, Lord. But somehow now, Lord, I know you have the answer this morning, Lord. And even if it's just by grace that you grant me that grace, Lord, just to walk through that, Lord, I'm willing to go there, Lord. Some of you, you're sitting here this morning and you know you've got the desire. Say, God, I want to know you. But you're afraid to pray that prayer. I don't want to single you out this morning. I don't want to pick on you or anything. But just where you're sitting there while all the eyes are closed, as you have a moment with the Lord, maybe that's your prayer this morning. Say, God, I want to know you. But whatever it costs, I'm willing to pay that price this year just to get to know you, Lord. Take me to that new place of meeting you, Lord. And the new place is not necessarily a bad place. I have to say. It might be an exciting place. But it's a place, an exciting place where we crucify ourselves, where we come to Christ and say, God, here I am. I just give myself, Lord. And I say, Lord, I'm being crucified with you, Galatians 2:20. So that I may know you. The sufferings, Paul continues to say, that I may know his sufferings, but also the power of his resurrection. While nobody's looking around, and that's your prayer. Say, God, I want to know you. If that means that I'll be taken to a place that I would not necessarily choose in my own wisdom or strength, God, will you lead me to that place? Nobody's looking around. Just give me an indication. So I'm asking the Lord that. I say, Lord, I want to go to that place. I want to be at that place where I can get to know you. Maybe it's in my work. Maybe it's in my marriage, Lord. Maybe it's in my relationships with others, Lord. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's a new church family. I don't know. But God, I want to know you. Father, thank you. Father, we come to you this morning, Lord. And We want to shift our eyes this morning away from the something. And we move our eyes and focus upon the someone. Lord Jesus, you are our hope this morning. You are our future. And Father, as we in the beginning of 2014, we do not know what might come, Lord. And Father, we're not cynical. We're not negative this morning, Lord. We expect great things. But Lord, we know as well, Lord, sometimes we get the opposite. But Father, we do not want to be tossed to and fro by every wind this morning, Lord. Our relationship needs to be firm and established in you. And Father, I pray for every single one of us this morning with such a desire, Lord, that wants to know you, as Paul says, Lord. May we get to know you, Lord. And Father, I thank you that each and every person is at a different place in their relationship with you. But God, in your almighty wisdom, you know how much we can take, how much you can bring to us, Lord. And Father, your word says that you will not give us more than what we can handle. But Father, may pray this morning, Lord, that as we get to know you, may your name be glorified in this year, Lord. May others see that we serve a living God. As the sickness does not lead to death, but to the glorification of God and Him alone. Amen. Amen. Can we end?